Chapter 36. Joe Roy had dropped 8 more pounds, was down to 10 cigarettes a day and averaging 25 miles a week around the track. Argro found him there, walking and pacing in the late afternoon heat. "Mr. Spicer, we need to talk," Argro said. "Do more laps," Joe Roy said without breaking stride. Argro watched him for a few seconds, then jogged 50 yards until he caught up. "Mind if I join?" he asked. "Not at all." They went into the first turn, stride for stride. "I just met with my lawyer again," Argro said. "Your brother?" Spicer asked, breathing heavily. His paces were not nearly as graceful as Argro's, a man 20 years younger. "Yes, he's talked to Aaron Lake." Spicer stopped as if he'd hit a wall. He glared at Argro, then looked at something in the distance. "Like I said, we need to talk."
"I suppose we do," Spicer said.
"I'll meet you in the law library in half an hour," Argro said, and walked away. Spicer watched him until he disappeared. There was no Jack Argro, attorney at law, in the Boca Raton Yellow Pages. And this initially caused concern. Finn Yarber frantically worked the unsecured phone, seeking directory assistance all over South Florida. When he asked for Pompano Beach, the operator said, "One moment, please," and Finn actually smiled. He scribbled down the number, then dialed it. A recorded voice said, "You've reached the law offices of Jack Argro. Mr. Argro keeps hours by appointment only, so please leave your name and number and a brief description of the real estate you're interested in, and we'll get in touch with you." Finn hung up and walked quickly across the lawn to the law library, where his colleagues were waiting. Argro was already 10 minutes late. A moment before he arrived, the same ex-lawyer entered the room carrying a bulky file, evidently ready to spend hours trying to save himself. To ask him to leave would cause a fight and create suspicion, and besides, he wasn't the type who respected judges anyway. One by one, they retired to the small conference room where Argro joined them. The room was cramped when Beach and Yarber worked there writing their letters. With Argro as the fourth man in and bringing no small amount of pressure, the room had never felt so crowded. They sat around the small table, each able to reach and touch the other three.
"I know only what I've been told," Argro began. "My brother is a semi-retired lawyer in Boca Raton. He has some money, and for years he's been active in Republican politics in South Florida. Yesterday he was approached by some people who work for Aaron Lake. They had investigated matters and knew that I was his brother, and that I was here in Trumbull along with Mr. Spicer. They made promises, swore him to secrecy, and now he's sworn me to secrecy. Now that everything is nice and confidential, I think you can connect the dots."
Spicer had not showered. His shirt and face were still wet, but his breathing had slowed. Not the slightest sound from either Beach or Yarber. The brethren were in a collective trance. "Keep going," they said with their eyes. Argro looked at the three faces and pushed onward. He reached into his pocket and removed a sheet of paper, which he unfolded and laid before them. It was a copy of their last letter to Al Conyers, the outing letter, the extortion demand, signed by Joe Roy Spicer, current address of Trumbull Federal Prison. They had the words memorized, so there was no need to read it again. They recognized the handwriting, that of poor little Ricky, and they realized that it had now come full circle. From the brethren to Mr. Lake, from Mr. Lake to Argro's brother, from Argro's brother back to Trumbull, all in 13 days. Spicer finally picked it up and glanced at the words.
"I guess you know everything, don't you?" he asked. "I don't know how much I know." "Tell us what they've told you."
"You're running a scam, the three of you?" You advertise in gay magazines, you develop relationships with older men by mail, you somehow learn their true identities, then you extort money from them.
That's a pretty fair summary of the game, Beach said.
And Mr. Lake made the mistake of answering one of your ads. I don't know when he did this, and I don't know how you found out who he was. There are some gaps in the plot, as far as I'm concerned.
It's best to keep it that way, Yarber said.
Fair enough. I didn't volunteer for this job.